The following is a Castwave Studios production.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere, Season 6, Episode 13. It's Valentine's Day. All the couples are getting together, and they're enjoying each other's company. Meanwhile, in the Taco Bell drive-thru, I order extra sauce. And also, we're going to talk about a little mishap with the Olympic fanfare and maybe the name of the place it's in. Strap it and sit tight. It's Boldly Going Nowhere. Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears. That's right. I'm stealing Colin's line because he's out today. It's just me and Sean doing the show tonight. And welcome to this, your week in geek news. I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And today we've got a bunch of news for you. Also, we're going to take it a little bit easier because, as you can see, it's a two-man show tonight. And I think Colin might
two-man
be a little...
Show.
Yeah, it's a two-man show. I think Colin might be a little preoccupied. I'm not making any assumptions, but...
He's busy with something. I'm stalling for time. I'm giving you an audio cue. He's going to do something like... Something similar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby, yeah. I like that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is some weird, wacky, wild, wonderful stuff for you right there. Oh.
Good. Put some on your head.
Yeah.
Did you know?
So, Brian, how are you this fine Wednesday?
I bought a hamster. He died. Buried him in a shoebox. It's great. It's amazing. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm as happy... I thought we were starting with Christopher Walken.
We are.
I'm as happy as a clam with a clam at a barbecue with a light sauce. Major great time.
Delicious.
Wow.
Wow.
Everybody all does that. Yeah. Wow.
What I love is because I was listening to Kevin Pollak do his Christopher Walken impersonation.
Pollak? It's Pollak, right?
Yeah, it's Pollak.
Like doctor, could you check out this Pollak? You might have to see a dermatologist.
That's a polyp. Not a Pollak. And if you have one of those, I would suggest, yes, go get that checked out immediately because that could be hazardous to your health. I don't know why I'm hamming it up as Carson tonight. I'm in the zone.
Wild,
I want
to.
You know, Ed, I want to do it. It's amazing.
I agree with you, Johnny.
You are correct, sir. It was funny because going back to Kevin Pollak, because I was listening to a YouTube interview with him, he was talking about how like the best – because he's been told that he does the best Christopher Walken impersonation.
Right.
So far as much as Christopher Walken has told him he does the best Christopher Walken impersonation. So one of the things that he always says when he's interviewed, it doesn't matter if it's Letterman or Conan or anybody, he straight up says the best way to do Walken is that you just have to get into it to the point where, like, you know, you might be just doing the voice for a couple of hours. And on top of that, when he's asked a question, there's no constant stream of consciousness. He's just going whatever. So it's like, for instance, it could just be like, you know, hey, Christopher, how are you today? It's like... Did you know that you could check into Khloe Kardashian's ass on Foursquare? I was mad for a week. And I'm like, that's the best way to do it.
Frankenstein doesn't scare me, but marsupials do. Because they're fast.
Frankenstein doesn't scare me.
Kangaroos.
There's a funny
pouches.
Speaking of that, there's a funny story where like I was always able to make my mom and dad laugh by doing a walk-in impersonation because, you know, you either got it or you don't, baby.
It's amazing.
And so I guess it was Halloween, and we were talking or whatever, and I might have been just a little bit drunk, but I was just like, out of nowhere, I was just like, you know, I love Halloween. It's amazing. I love it. Ghosts, goblins.
Goblins.
Boo. And like that boo just got them rolling. Boo.
No, I think he gets a little inflection in there if you want to do the boo. Yeah. Ghosts and goblins. Boo.
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 Like it's a little.
Because it has to just be like, it just boo. Has to, it can't be like boo. It's like boo.
I've been watching. I forgot what channel it was. I think it was. It might have been like the Verge or something, or one of those like Vanity Fair, one of those YouTube channels where they just have the white background and they, you know, they interview certain people. And
one of those, huh?
More white than this.
That's racist. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
I noticed, like, it's off center.
By the way,
I think mine's a little darker than yours in terms of white. And if you,
well, to be fair, I'm white. To be fair, I'm white. You're pink. So
I am pink.
So
pink. What's wrong with pink? There's a pink kink in your thing.
I have no rebuttal for that. Anyways, so we were talking.
I stole that from Bounden.
Okay, so
it's a Pixar shirt.
So we were talking about what again?
We're talking about Christopher Walken.
Walken.
And now your parents were laughing so hard.
They peed. And a little bit of pee just came out. It was
and Gene Johns would take your crap.
We did not expect a wash day at the Massey household, but clearly quarters were taken out.
I went to the grocery store. They ran out of Tide Pods.
Stupid kids eating them. You're not laundry.
Wow.
Unless you ate a bunch of tiny clothes inside you, I don't know why you're doing it.
I just
somebody with like tiny little fucking shirts and pants.
Just this Christopher Walken is like pausing there for what seems forever. And then he just looks at the Tide Pod aisle. It's empty. And he just goes, wow. I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Wow.
Wow.
I didn't know demand and supply was so bad. Clearly.
I guess I used
You need to take better numbers.
I guess I used the other powder.
I use store brand. I'm not a big fan of Great Value. Because the value's there, but it ain't that great.
I can go for a schnitzel.
Yeah. All right.
So I want you to talk about, at least let's get into our main story tonight.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, going into our news story for the day, everybody. As you all know, the Olympic Games are currently being held in South Korea. Most notably, it's held in Pyeongchang. Which is about, I don't know, 80 miles east of Seoul, South Korea.
Seoul.
And as you know,
it's got Seoul, baby.
So our story comes from People Food.
People.
And this involves a Chicago ABC affiliate. They apologized Monday after a logo appeared behind weekend anchor Mark Rivera on Saturday that advertised the South Korean host city of the Winter Games as P.F. Chang's. I've got nothing.
It's like running with a soft drink.
One user tweeted, America would definitely take the gold in the binge eating event at the P.F. Chang Olympics. Another added, I may not be an athlete competing in Pyongyang, but I definitely compete in P.F. Chang's. First and foremost, Pyongyang is in North Korea, sir. But yeah.
P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's.
I like because someone posted this onto one of the comments I made.
Right.
One of these statuses I made about the Olympics.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, at least it's not bad as this. And he posted like them making them like not like spelling it wrong, putting P.F. Chang's. And I was about to put because I was looking for South Park P.F. Chang's, and that's what I was typing into the GIF animator. What popped up was Cartman, like, dressed up, like, very, very, very offensively with the rice hat and the buck teeth and you know, the paper-thin mustache.
Right.
But I wanted to get Randy just eating P.F. Chang's going...
Oh.
Yeah. Because he was trying to gain up enough courage for the...
The fight or whatever, right?
To poop.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. I remember that.
Oh, my God. But that's just like, how could you, P.F. Chang's? Who? That had to be on purpose. I can't believe people are that stupid enough.
I'll tell you what, man. We are not the greatest generation by far, I tell you that. Holy dog shit.
I just wish the most weird of the generations.
Oh my God.
Ours was the most weird generation.
You know, it's hard to defend ourselves sometimes, man, because it's like, you know, it's like, hey, we're not stupid, we're not dumb, and then this of shit happens, and it's like, all right, whatever.
All right, let's...
Oh. So yeah, that's right. Be sure to watch the P.F. Chang Olympics on NBC exclusively all throughout the next week and a half.
So I have a story for you.
Okay.
It involves
that's funny. Go
my
on.
Hell in retail.
Okay.
But is that still going on? My hell in retail.
Thank you, John Williams.
Thank you, John Williams. Hopefully we don't get flagged for that.
I hope not.
Yeah, because it's Olympics. Who cares? Could be NBC.
NBC might care a lot.
They might care a lot. Who knows? So what happened? We'll just say this older German lady. I work at an optical store in Maryland.
Is her name Frida?
No. Let's say Gertrude.
All right, Gertrude.
Gertrude. You sold Gertrude. I sold this old lady. She's very sweet, but kind of senile because she's like 100-something.
Uh-huh.
And she, I sell her some off-the-rack sunglasses because her distance works fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she just needs something to kind of wear. So I pick out like this cheap $39 pair of sunglasses, and I clean them up. I put them in the case. You know, she purchases them, you know, pays like $41 or whatever change.
Right.
And I gave her a receipt. I put it in the case. I double-checked it. You know, they're big sunglasses, so they fit just in the case. And I shut them and gave it to her. The next week, so this is like 2 days ago, she comes in and, like, I'm with a customer. And then I'm hearing in the background, why did she give me these crap glasses? Why? He sold me the glasses. He sold them to me. I don't understand. And she's making this big stink. Everyone's getting like, you know, like how someone's yelling at someone else, but you can just feel the tension in the room. Like you can taste it. Like it has texture.
Been there, done that.
She's yelling up and down, swearing up and down. Like, and then like God bless her, my associate. She's like, you know, I've never seen these glasses before. I'm just hearing it. And that now me and my customer are starting to talk about the crazy lady is yelling. So, and finally, Kendra is just like, I need you to deal with her. And it's like, I'll take over your transaction. So I'm like, I walk over there and she's like, why did you give me these glasses? I'm like, I had never seen those glasses before my knife. She goes, I don't believe it. You are lying to me. You are lying to me. And I'm just like, no, I have never seen these sunglasses before in my life. They're like, what she was handing me was something that's very ancient, looks like it was an old pair of sunglasses back when the style used to be small. So I'm just like, that's not what's current. And that's not what I would give you. If it comes off the rack, I clean it personally and allows it, like, basically sanitize with alcohol, and then I'll give it to you, right? And then she's like, I put in the case, and I actually pulled out of the drawer. I'm like, it was a case that looked like this. The case that you brought those in, I've never seen before in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she couldn't believe it. I'm like, how about this? I'll order one of these. I'll order the same exact thing that I still gave to you, even though you don't believe me, and we'll compare it. How about that? About 4 hours later, she comes in. I found them. They're in my dresser. I'm so sorry. She apologized.
Oh, wow.
And then I was just like, wow. You know? Just like, that's fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I'm like, you should have fucking checked
yourself.
But it was just funny. I don't know. It was just hilarious.
That doesn't seem like, I don't know.
It's not a hell in retail story. It was more like, it never happens. That never
when someone comes in
and says, I'm sorry for making a stink. Which is that, right. Like, I'm sorry for making this.
I've never gotten that. I've gotten accused of a couple of things that were never true, personally, because I've worked retail before too.
Yeah,
and
you deal with customer service every day. You understand.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking like, you know, face to face kind of crap.
Yeah.
And I feel like the statute of limitations has, you know, subsided enough that I don't expect it, because, like, whatever. You know, like, number one, I seriously doubt that they're listening. And number two, if they are, even still, I don't give a fuck. Whatever.
And I didn't mention any names. I mean, Gertrude, but that's a fake name.
Right. I'm not going to mention any names, but I will tell you one customer hell experience I had was when I was working at First Data in Hagerstown. And I'm not going to, again, name names, but this was when I got hired on as a chef. And a couple of days, they would put me on the cash register because, you know, hey, I need to be able to handle all assets of whatever. I did everything there. You know what I mean? I did prep. I did freezer. I did walk-in. I did, you know, I did walk-in earlier. I did on the grill, and then I did, you know, the cash counter. And so one day, while I'm working there, as I'm talking to somebody, by the way, they were wearing like this really cool Doctor Who shirt, and we were talking Doctor Who for a little bit. I get another customer in line, and she happens to be a black woman. Now, the person before that was just a white dude, whatever. And we were just, you know, like, oh yeah, totally. And then, like, I'm talking to her, and I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. And, like, I'm not, you know, at the same level, I guess, as with him, because I was like, oh yeah, I totally watched that episode, blah, 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 blah. So she noticed that, apparently. She went to my manager, and she accused me of being racist.
Oh.
And
well, did you say anything?
No! I simply said, all right, that's going to be blah, 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 blah. We'll be paying cash or credit, and here you go, and have a great day. But because I wasn't as enthused about, like, because we were talking about an episode while I was still doing my work or whatever, and I was like, oh, yeah, totally, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And, like, I was really excited about that, and then I went back to my normal level of, like, okay, let me help you out with that, whatever, right? You know, different interactions between people. That's just the way that shit works like that. She took that as I was not as excited to see her as I was my friend who talks Doctor Who with me. She goes to my manager. She accuses me of being racist and not treating her, a black woman, the same as I was treating him, a white man. And I sit in the office.
I guess you want some free shit.
I sat in the office for 30 minutes talking to my manager about why we need to make sure that all of our interactions are the same and monotone. And even though they didn't believe
treat
that
everyone equally bad.
they didn't believe that I was racist or anything like that. But what did we learn here? And I'm like, oh my fucking God. Like, I hate corporate so goddamn much, dude. I fucking hate it. This is why I want this to blow up and be so big.
Yeah.
Because I want to do this for a living.
You don't have to, you know, deal with asses.
Yeah, because, oh, God, I'm so sick and fucking tired. Because, like, I think it's safe to say, like, I'm not going to say that we all hate our jobs. Because, God forbid, we don't. But, like, given those or doing this for a living.
Oh, yeah, this, most definitely.
I mean, that's a no-brainer.
Without even a question. I wouldn't even blink.
Yeah.
If I had to sacrifice some things, and it's right. Something saying you could do this on a living, and you could pay your rent and pay for your car, and, you know,
right.
Pay for all this living expenses.
I mean,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, if that happened, and plus, like, yeah, and your bonuses, you know, you make the same amount you do now, and you're doing this,
right.
And I'm like, I would. In a heartbeat.
If I'm making the same amount here that I'm making at work,
it's not even a question.
Right, because then I can pay for, you know, I can pay for a car, I can pay for my rent, I can do all that. Because I still need to get a car. So it's like, you know.
How's that going, by the way? Have you been searching? Or
I've been searching. I really kind of want to try and get, like, a Toyota or something because, you know, I was looking at a bunch of, like, different diagnostics and sheets and whatnot. And it's shown that Toyotas are typically the – there's a list, actually. Of,
yeah, let's talk about cars. I really want
– Yeah, we haven't talked cars.
Yeah, we haven't talked cars. Yeah. And, like, we never talk cars. Not even off the podcast.
Right. I was actually looking at a list, and it showed that the cars that typically, on average, cost the least to maintain over a period of like 10 to 20 years are Toyotas.
What do I drive?
Right.
I drive a Yaris, and I will tell you without a doubt, I have had a Toyota. This is my second Toyota, my fourth car.
Right.
And I will tell you without a doubt, it is the most reliable. You just basically, you take care of it, and it will drive you
right
around. It will take care of you. And the only time I'm even questioning beyond a doubt to switch from Toyota is my interest in Tesla right now.
Right.
Mainly because I test drove one. I mean, but at the same time, like, realistically, Toyota's your best bet.
Right.
Yeah, they're really easy to maintain. In terms of, you want to get, like, barely used. I got mine with 10,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that much. So I really think that that's awesome for you.
Yeah, let's see here. Let's see here. Okay, so we have a couple of lists here, and I think these are all from Your Mechanic. So there's a list here stating unusually common car issues. And let's just talk about this real fast. I'll talk about the top five issues by frequency. So it says here mercury, the fuel pump, the frequency is by about 28 times more likely to happen than with other cars. With Chrysler, they have exhaust gas recirculation EGR valves that fail all the time. I can tell you right now, my dad had a Chevrolet Colorado, and it was like a 2012 model. And I looked it up after he got the car, and I think he got it like used, or it was like, I think it was my grandpa's because he had just passed away.
Okay.
And I looked it up, and sure enough, it's on the list of like, you know, most unreliable cars of that year. And I'm like, Dad, you might need to, you know, take a look at that car because it looks like this thing, you know, fails all the time. And he's like, nah, it's fine. And sure enough, like next week, it like the chassis like snapped off or some shit. I can't remember. But it's like he had a bunch of issues with that truck. And I mean, honestly, I'm just trying to do as much research as I can to get myself a car. I really don't want a sedan. Just because, I don't know, ever since I was a kid, man, I was like, sedans are fucking boring. They are so goddamn boring. Like, when it comes to cars, I get excited by, like, trucks and, like, SUVs and stuff like that. I don't necessarily want the
Ford Raptor.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want a huge car, but I want something that, you know, I can haul shit with. Because you know me, I like to, you know, like, I like to be able to haul stuff around. And one of the reasons why I want to get a truck is so that when we go to conventions, we have that extra space to be able to transport stuff. Even if I just get a tonneau cover over the top of it, you know, we can put computers and we can put, like, storage and stuff in there.
So here I have, and I'm just going to do a quick click and clack voice here. Which models require the most and least maintenance in a long run? Based on maintenance costs of the first 150,000 miles. The most expensive is the Ford Mustang. I'll stop that now. The most expensive, the Ford Mustang, at $27,000 for the first 150 miles. I'll name the top four. So BMW 328i, $25,000. Ford Explorer, $23,000.
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
The Jeep Grand Cherokee.
That's racist. $22,900.
That is a racist. And then, all right, let's go through the least expensive. Toyota Prius.
Prius.
Prius?
It's a Prius. Not Prius. It's
Prius in Britain.
The Toyota Prius.
Well, this is America, son.
$6,700.
I'm sorry. I've been watching way too much Top Gear and Grand Tour. I'm never going to correct that.
Okay, fair enough.
Nissan Versa, $85,000. And then they start getting up around the Hondas. Honda Fit, $10,000. Toyota Yaris, $10,300. And then Corolla right after that.
Yep.
So, like, if my car is in the, and, like, you got Toyotas in the number one spot,
Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm surprised in terms of like maintenance cost.
Right.
You think that would be more because of all the electrical like composites there.
Right.
But, you know, maybe like it doesn't have to use as rigorous of an engine. It doesn't use the engine all the time.
Right.
So maybe that's the maintenance
that
might
have a lot
lower
to do with it, actually.
The battery, I mean, if you're getting it new.
Right.
So, yeah, the Tacoma, oh my gosh. The one I think is awesome and like I'm so sad that we don't have it is the Toyota the Toyota Hilux. We have the bastardized version, which is the Tacoma.
Right.
But if you look up Hilux, you'll see the difference. It was Hilux, yeah.
Hilux.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh yeah, is this the
car that doesn't die?
This is the one that Clarkson was trying to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm just like I have
respect
for the car that doesn't it doesn't die. It is just you can put it through pretty much anything and it just it's a little champ.
But these are only in the UK, right?
But that's a disappointing thing. They're only in the UK. They're what only the, sold okay. in European markets and they're not the American version is totally you think we in the American version in terms of trucks you think we would have the better version but no.
Mm.
The better version's in the UK.
That doesn't even make any goddamn sense.
It doesn't. Like, it doesn't. Like, and I'm like why?
Okay, let's talk about this real fast because like everything that I know about, you know, Britain and whatnot, okay? Here's the thing. And I do have a couple of British friends that I can, you know, like I've talked to them about this before. I'm like, how many trucks do you typically see in and around London? And they're like, not at all, mate. Like, not at all. You know, like, no. Fuck off.
No.
You'd be lucky to see a car, let alone a truck. You know, I'm like, okay. So I'm like, I don't know. Maybe this is going to be up around, like, you know, farmland and stuff like that. But, like, I hear Great Britain, and then I hear truck. And I'm like, does not compute.
Until you see the Hilux,
yeah,
and that's the I'm saying it's an outlier. It's an outlier among what's offered over there, but yeah, I'm like I think yeah. like once you get your license,
uh-huh.
you have to and I have to go with you on this just to see your expression and to see just your face. You have to go test drive a Tesla.
Okay,
it's free. You make the appointment online for free, and you go down there
mm-hmm.
and test drive like a Model S or Model X.
Okay,
like the 150D, like the one that's like it's in that does ludicrous mode that does 0 to 60 in like 4 seconds.
Ooh,
and it's like it's so amazing. It's such like a transcendent type of thing. So yeah, I mean, I think you'd do well with a truck. Something that's gonna be decent. Yeah, a Tacoma, that's not bad.
I'd get a black one, definitely.
It's not bad. Yeah, black's your color.
Yes, it is. You're goddamn right, it is.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. Like that's that's $21,000 right there.
Yeah, I would. You know, it's one of those things like you have to like save up for a good big down payment, so your other payments are going to be lower.
Why is it saying that my CarMax store is in Newark, Delaware? Actually, hold on, because that does make a little more sense. Although there is one over by Shady Grove, so even still, I'm like, no, that makes no sense. Because every time that we go over to the Metro to go down to DC, which by the way, we'll probably be doing that for AwesomeCon.
they always drive by the CarMax thing, and oh god, it's like miles of cars.
Yep.
I'm just like
I almost want to stop there like the Sunday after AwesomeCon and just like check out some of the cars because like God knows I need to finalize my license. I've been through classes. I don't know if we've ever actually talked about this on the show.
I don't think we have.
Okay,
Brian, you I think you need a car, but here's the problem, and this is one of the things that this is one of the hurdles that you're going through.
Yes.
Is that getting your driving time? You have to drive with someone else who's licensed,
mm-hmm.
and it is hard as hell because mm-hmm. you know if you're not under like the you're not on the insurance, it fucking sucks.
So I think what I need to do is the place that I went which is right down the road from me, does offer, for some obscene price, to be able to be in the car with you to get your hours. And I got like maybe 1 or 2 hours with Sean one day. I still need to get a couple of hours, and I still kind of want to get some practice in, just because I haven't driven in a while. I do know how to drive. I will say that much right now. But as far as finalizing my license, I do need to get that done soon. And part of the reason why I never got it is because if you play sad music, I swear to God, I'm going to hurt you.
No, I'm pulling up. I'm pulling up the commercial break.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just, I wouldn't dream.
I know. I don't even have that.
No,
here.
I'm putting a stop to it before it even happens. but I will say, you know, I aced the test. I aced the written, like a sumbitch. You know what? Fuck you, kids. Every time you're on the show. No. Bite me.
Jesus.
One of these days, someone's going to chop his hand off because he just pressed one button too many. But yeah, I just, I don't know. It's something that I'm working on, and I do know that we kind of wanted to like film a series around that. Where it was like, Brian learns to drive, and Tonight on Top Gear, Brian learns how to drive the Toyota Tacoma.
Brian learns how to drive the Toyota Tacoma.
Yep. And look, here comes Captain Slow.
It's Colin. Hey, guys.
He is Captain Slow.
I'm Richard Hammond, and I'm the American.
That's right. He's the hamster.
I am the hamster.
I don't know.
Has anyone seen my bedding?
It's weird because it's like when we're on BGN, like because we do two of the shows together, and usually we're on topic there. But here it's just freeform, and because Colin's not here, it's like I don't know. I feel like the show's taking on a different dynamic tonight.
It is
even more so than
it's
like
very different.
Even more so than say like Batcast or Prime Directive. Even
I feel like we need a break to reexamine.
Yeah, we
do the next half of the episode because it really dived into like
all right,
just conversations about. Well, I got my taxes next week, and I was done doing everything
right.
Else, and then I got my other thing.
Greetings and salutations, und Mutter and Vater. You want to support das Podcast? Simply go to patreon.com/castwavestudios, and you can do just that, und du mir ganz. Help us in the best way possible, and you get und privileges to make your Freunde jealous. Schnell! Go to undpatreon.com/castwavestudios!
American Top 40!
Well, hello. This is a commercial for castwavestudios.com/Amazon. It is the best way to shop for anything on your wish list. Shopping through Castwave Studios is the best way to help us without paying any extra. Remember, click the Amazon tab at castwavestudios.com. This is Casey Kasem saying grab your balls and reach for the stars.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Zach Patterson with Castwave Studios.
And this is Sean Holmes.
And we're here to plug our new movie podcast, Post Credit Podcast. Every episode, Sean, Rocky Diamond, and myself will hit you with movie news, discussion, and movie reviews.
Yeah, we were getting ready to watch a bunch of movies here, so I think we should start up with Batman v Superman, the director cut.
No, Sean, why, no.
I think it's a highly underrated movie.
No, Sean, Batman v Superman in this house.
Why not? I don't understand.
Why not? Why yes? What's good about that movie? Nothing is good about that movie. The plot is all over the
place. You can find our
Superman
show at
postcreditpodcast
at castwavestudios.com. Just click the picture of PCP.
As Lex Luthor, he shoves a Jolly Rancher in a dude's mouth.
All right, do you just want to watch Rogue One?
Oh, hell yeah, I love Rogue One.
And we're back, everybody.
We're back. A dinosaur story.
Mm-hmm. John Goodman was in that one.
Yeah.
I remember. Mm-hmm. I remember. So let's go ahead and start off the second segment of our show with a trailer for Batman Ninja, which is going to be a direct-to-DVD.
Oh, Batman Ninja.
Yes, it's going to be a direct-to-DVD video. It's weird because they just did Gotham by Gaslight.
Yeah.
But this, I believe this is a completely different intellectual property, because I honestly don't remember this being a manga at all or being a comic at all. But what we're going to watch, there was already an official trailer, and it was all in Japanese. This is going to be the English trailer.
Yeah, I've seen the Japanese trailer.
But let's go ahead.
So I'm really curious as to...
Yeah. Well, let's cue this up and let's get this watched.
Everyone's been calling me the most powerful man in Japan. The Demon King, Lord Joker.
Where am I? But from the look of it, this is ancient Japan.
Our master has ordered us to kill him on sight.
The Joker.
That's right, Bat.
Relieved you're with us, Master Bruce. They're all trying to take over this country and rewrite history.
Is that Kevin?
No, it's not, but it's...
It sounds
this
like Kevin.
Is it. The Batmobile, the Batwing, the Batcycle, they've all been destroyed at the hands of the Joker. But I have my mind, my spirit, and all of you.
Oh, this looks really cool.
When the country is in chaos, a foreign ninja wearing the mask of a bat will come and restore order to our land. Great Shinobi from across the sea of time, Lord Batman.
Now what?
What?
I want to see that so bad.
That looks amazing.
Oh,
that looks so good.
Mm, that was my Valentine's Day gift for myself. By the way, I loved that. I loved that he did a fucking jutsu for fucking Naruto. He did one of those fuckers where it's like, I don't even fucking remember how you do it, but it's like
wow,
like one of these guys, like from like Naruto and shit.
Huh.
When they're doing the fucking hand bullshit.
That was cool.
That was so cool. I think okay. So some of my favorite parts of that are just first and foremost, the music is oh my god, the music is great. I love stuff like that because
I like the visuals.
Oh my god, they're so fucking good.
The visuals look.
I want that. Oh,
it looks like remember when they did I'm not sure. Appleseed.
Yeah.
Remember when they redid it in that kind of like 3D type of cartoon thing?
Right.
It looks like that, but it's improved. It has almost like a stop motion type of thing.
I'll tell you what it kind of looks like, to be honest with you.
What?
It kind of looks like a different version of the Batman Telltale games.
Right.
Yeah.
But
they're using that 3D model kind of stuff.
They're using the 3D model. It just looks more serious, more crisp, and more clean. Man. It looks good.
And I just love – I mean, I know it's not Mark Hamill because usually they get Mark Hamill in to be the Joker in a lot of these. But like,
but
honestly,
that laugh,
it works for this version of the Joker so well. I don't even know who the guy is that did that. Hold on. Batman Ninja. Let me see here. Batman Ninja English cast.
Batman Ninja English cast.
Okay.
Brian's Googling something.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. This Joker is just so cool. I hope that they make this a series because, honestly, this is amazing. Okay, so the voice cast for Batman Ninja in Japan, Batman is going to be played by Koichi Yamadera, and the English voice actor is Roger Craig Smith. The Joker is played in Japan by Wataru Takaki, and then the English voice actor is Tony Hale. And I wonder what that guy has done in the past. Let's take Tara Strong is playing Harley Quinn again, right on.
Of course.
So Tony Hale, he is, oh my god.
Oh, he was in 1517 to Paris as the gym teacher.
He is Buster Bluth in Arrested Development.
Yeah.
He's playing the Joker.
Yeah, he's in a lot of stuff.
Go figure. That's awesome.
Where have I mean, besides the other one, where have I seen him before besides Arrested Development?
I'm not entirely certain.
Yeah, he's been in a bunch of other things I've seen.
He was in Dante's Inferno, The Tale of Despero.
I think more 2000s.
he was in Larry the Cable Guy, Health Inspector, get her done.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay. Yeah, Jack Dibbs.
Yep. And, oh, God, Yoga Hosers. That was awful.
Angry Birds movie. Transformers The Last Night.
I mean, you know what,
the 15-17, the Paris, it was Coach Murray. It was just... Oh, my gosh. Did I ever talk about that movie?
You talked about it in the car with us, and you said that it sucked.
Here's the thing, and there's certain parts of it are amazing. I give every credit to Clint Eastwood in terms of, like, kind of directing this. But in terms of, like, some of the acting, like, not using the non-actors, even though it's cool, use the actual people, which made the scene at the end even more awesome.
Right.
But, it wasn't my cup of tea.
Per Wikipedia,
besides the last 15 minutes, it was very like, right. It was very much like Hot Fuzz, where the last 15 minutes are amazing, and
right.
The rest of it's kind of like
the rest of it's kind of like, eh. Well, no, actually, no, I don't feel that way about Hot Fuzz, but hold that thought, because
I do.
When it comes to Wikipedia, and we'll get back to that. When it comes to Wikipedia, it says here for the critical response on Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 24% based on 107 reviews and an average rating of 4.3 out of 10. And it says here the 15-17 to Paris pays clumsily well-intentioned tribute to an act of heroism, but by casting the real-life individuals involved, director Clint Eastwood fatally undermines his own efforts. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but I can kind of – I already know exactly what kind of movie I'm getting into.
It was part after-school special.
Right.
Part, thriller because of the end. Part, right. Like war movie. And part, Somebody Feed Phil.
Right. I don't know.
And when I say the Somebody Feed Phil, the after school special, that's majority of the movie. In terms of like travel, like Anthony Bourdain knows reservations type of thing.
Right.
That's what it felt like.
Okay. Okay.
Because they were just traveling to places. There's a scene where they got gelato.
I heard, and this is like, oh wow, gelato.
And you got to see what everyone's flavor was, and you sat through the order. It was kind of like, in the room.
Oh yeah, let me get this, and then like
no
like
one
two,
was saying.
Two customers come through, and then Johnny comes on set, and it's like, why?
Part of me was saying like Clint Eastwood wasn't saying no
right.
to them, which I wouldn't say no to them either because they're some badass guys,
right?
But at the same time, like, there's got to be like a couple of executives that are like,
there's saying
there's
no.
There's a certain thing.
They're saying no, and then there's directing a film.
There was one part in the movie, and this is not really spoiling anything at all. But throughout the entire movie, when you get to know this character,
survive?
Because this movie's very like, for this majority of the movie, let's expand the character, mm-hmm. and then throughout the later chunk, the shit will happen. So about like in terms of almost the end of kind of like character development of for him in terms of the flashbacks, they go up to the top in this rooftop in Venice. He whips out a cigarette and just starts smoking on the top of Venice. It was never established before this character smoked, and it never established before his father smoked, mm-hmm. but he just popped out a cigarette and started smoking. I'm like, and then he starts going. Oh, yeah, man, life is just leading you towards this one moment, man. Like he was like, I need to speak a line for the trailer.
Right.
I was just like, what? This makes no sense. Gelato? Okay, club in Amsterdam? Okay, are you going to meet a person there? Meet a random stranger in Venice, and then she travels with you to Amsterdam? What?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
You know, it's like life is just leading to you like one minute, one moment.
One moment. It's crazy. I don't know what else to say apart from that. I didn't have to pay for that movie, so that's good news.
Yeah.
But some people paid $14 to see this.
You know I love you, right? I'm never going to stop loving you.
I know.
Tell me you won't leave me, Michael. I won't.
No,
I won't.
And while we're here, and it's Valentine's Day, and Brian and I
are single.
Single. And recording podcasts instead. Just kidding. No, this is a grand slam. I'm having fun.
I'll never forget you, me.
I never forget me, me.
Me. Me. So let's go back.
Nintendo news.
Oh, yes, we have a little bit of Nintendo news. I'm sorry, though. You didn't like Hot Fuzz?
I liked the last 15 minutes were awesome. Awesome. Mm. The rest of it, I'm like, I don't like horror.
Okay.
I just don't. So, like, it was, I don't know. I just don't like horror. I never did. I never, it's not something like, it doesn't get my, I don't know, it doesn't get my grill going.
It doesn't get your noodle wet.
Doesn't get my noodle wet. Doesn't float my boat. I don't know. It doesn't agree with me.
It doesn't tickle your pickle.
I don't know. Like some people, yeah. Like, you should watch it with a girlfriend, man. I'm like, well, like what else?
Hi to my girlfriend.
Hi.
We've known each other for a very long time. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. Before we get into this other thing, I will say I do like horror. I'm not a horror head like a lot of people are. You know how like people like I don't know. You know how typically when you have a horror fan, you know they obviously list off names like Kane Hodder and Wes Craven and shit like that. You know, and I like horror. I'm not you know I don't get a hard on for horror, but I like horror. I like horror from a you know technical standpoint because I love what people do. I love how creative people get with it because when you look at like I don't know trauma films, when you look at stuff like trauma films,
you know what horror movie I liked?
What's that?
The Relic, because there was science fiction and suspense.
Right. Okay.
Because there was reason. If there's a scientific reasoning behind something, and how everything lines up in terms of like if we're getting emotionally vested in these characters and not just some bunch of random teens,
right?
Then I'm like, okay, I can go with them with this journey. I feel emotionally connected, mm-hmm. and I do enjoy the technical aspects of as well. But at the same time, like horror movies, like we all know what's gonna happen,
right?
There's gonna be a jump scare. This person's gonna die because they walked into the cabin, and it's so freaking predictable.
I know, but
and it's just like, oh, and they got psychological horror. We don't know what's gonna happen next. And I'm just like, well, is there anything? Is there any person to root for throughout this journey? Does he make it to the end? And most of the time in horror movies, I've found is that the person at the end is just like, you know, and it's kind of it leaves off kind of. Like open ended, and that's the part I really never enjoyed,
right?
So I don't know. I just horror movies never really get my.
Do you know which horror movie I absolutely fucking hated?
Who?
An American what? Haunting. I fucking hated that movie.
American
because
Haunting.
Because, yeah, it's got,
who's that?
Donald Sutherland, Sissy Spacek, James Darcy, Rachel Hurd Wood. It's a film that I believe is set in the 70s, and let's see here. Oh fuck, I don't care. Whatever. It opens in present time.
Let me look at the.
It's almost like it's based on the legend of the Bell Witch, and the idea is that there's this girl who's been haunted by some omnipresent or whatever, and it just goes on and on and on and on. And then, you know, it turns out that the implication actually, after going through all this fucking, like, pretense, is that, oh, her dad's sexually abusing her. The end. And I was like, no, they literally end on that. And then you're expected to walk away. They don't explain it. They don't fucking give you a wrap up. They don't tell you what the fuck happened to the characters. It's literally, oh, her dad's abusing her. Goodbye. Thank you for your $14. I'm like, no, that's bullshit.
That's not okay.
I was so fucking angry when I walked out of that theater. I was pissed the fuck off. I was like, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, I'm sorry. And I'm so happy that that's the only time I've seen it. And nobody ever talks about this movie. And for good fucking reason.
Okay. So you hated it.
Yes. But I will tell you this. When it comes to horror movies, I hate haunting movies, with the exception of The Exorcist, obviously.
Well, it's a classic.
But it's like every fucking year with a haunting movie. I hate it so much. I like Saw to a degree, but honestly, in my opinion, you can't beat the classics. You can't beat Friday the 13th, Halloween, or Nightmare on Elm Street.
Here's the other reason why I like the Relic.
Yeah,
it is considered science fiction horror.
Right,
but I don't know. It was neat. The creature was neat. The CGI doesn't hold up as much in 2018.
I mean, it's 1997. What do you want?
It's 1997. But yeah, that was just all CGI. Wasn't you know, all CGI when he's chasing her down with when he's on flames. But the monster was cool. And here's the thing I like about it. And they hide the monster and they don't really reveal it until like 20 minutes. Towards the end. They don't exactly reveal the entire thing. It's always just shrouded in darkness. You don't see it. You hear it. You hear it. You see like a swoosh by, but you don't see it. And then that's what I like. That's scary horror. That's something that's like, you know, if you don't see it, you use people's imaginations and kind of play with that to tell the story that way.
Okay, so it looks kind of like a dinosaur mixed with a predator.
It was fucking cool.
Okay, that's kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what the whole thing... That looks like something out of Monster Hunter. To be perfectly honest, that looks like something that you would take on with, like, a battle axe or... It's cool looking.
It's cool, and in the, it takes the people's growth hormones... That's like in the back, so every time it like just decapitates people and just it's
oh what
yeah it's oh, crazy it's
that,
crazy
is that why it's so jacked up
yeah because it's got hormones
oh
it's
shit
all, it's like all hormones and stuff and it gets it from different creatures and it's kind of like
oh man
and like it starts out like them like insects and then like them like an excavation and they thought like they were taking all these bones and kind of putting them together in a weird way. They thought this was like a paleontologist joke, like oh look what bones we found to this prehistoric creature and like and it turns out it was from the same fucking creature was this guy. So it's like
right.
crazy, you know. And the other one I really like and this is a one watch film. I will not watch it a second time, is the remake of 1980s remake of The Thing. Mm. And that is classic in terms of just another science fiction horror in terms of just the artwork that goes into these practical effects. Like, yeah, John Carpenter's, some of Carpenter's, I think it is his best work. John Carpenter.
Yeah, the 1982 remake, also known as The Thing from Another World. You know what? I remember seeing this as a kid, but I don't remember.
I got freaked the fuck out about that when I was a kid. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. You were yelling earlier, so I turned
you
down. Sorry.
But yeah, I've actually never seen this as an adult. I think I need to
take a watch. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. John Carpenter did an amazing job in just portraying like because it when you're watching that movie, you know how you feel like you ever watch a movie and you feel like because they do such a good job with like art design and set design, you feel the temperature.
Yes.
Like of a movie, this movie feels cold. Like, because it takes place in like the winter, but it just feels cold. Like I need to put on a sweater before I watch this. It's the same thing with Do the Right Thing, where they have they have that wide crane shot that lifts up over the lane in Brooklyn,
mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, New York, in the middle of like August. It's very very hot. You can feel the fire hydrant is exploded open. Kids are running around playing and stuff, and like you can just feel and whoever did the color really did it well too because it has a little like as everything's got like almost a sepia tone brown and it just feels hot.
It feels like summer in the 1990s.
Oh my gosh! You made me feel a temperature through a visual image. That's crazy.
Speaking crazy. Of that, it's funny and this is gonna be kind of a weird source, but I always got that feeling from Hey Arnold too. Especially like when they did like you know like summertime. I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but like I just remember, and I know it's a cartoon.
I know, like we're talking about like John Carpenter.
No, I know.
We're talking about.
I'm just saying
Spike Lee.
When you
and then we come down to the greatest Tech Greatest.
Hey Arnold. Hey, yeah, Arnold. I know. But here's the thing. It's like, because it's New York and it's the summertime and it's hot. And like, I feel you, man. Because like, I don't know. There's something for me about the 1990s and summertime just being special. It's such a special time in my life. The summertime, just that time of my life, man. I love it.
Well, you didn't work.
You didn't work. No, you didn't work.
That was great. You had all summer to do whatever the hell you wanted,
dude.
I never had that. I feel like, I mean, I never had that. Like, I've had that in my childhood, but like my adulthood, we never get that.
We never get that, man. I mean, it's almost kind of like why I kind of want
to. Even teachers have to do some prep work,
right?
End of term stuff and then prep work.
I would love to take like a week long vacation this summer, man, and just go somewhere. Like I tell you, because like, okay, here's I guess we can switch this up a little bit. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, some of our favorite summers growing up.
Okay.
Because
I'll have you start since you opened up the conversation here.
So because here's the thing, I'm sick and fucking tired of wintertime. So I feel like this might kind of like get me a little more hyped up for summertime. And obviously we still have to go through spring, but for me, spring is just like summer light, honestly, because it's like, you know, whatever.
We have 3 months.
3 months until
summer.
Summer. Mm. Can't wait. So growing up, I think I have much more fonder memories of being a kid in San Antonio when it comes to summertime, because I mean, I don't know. I had some really good ones in Colorado, but when it comes to Colorado in summertime, it's still kind of cold up there sometimes. And on top of that, you know, a lot of that was more based around like family, and you know, you're still a kid and you're kind of based around the house. When I was living in San Antonio, I got to go all over the freaking place. And you have to keep in mind that in the summertime, man, it got to like 90, 100. There was one period of time where like it was 110 for 2 weeks, day and night. It never tapered off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we had to make do, but you know what? It was still fun. What I loved about living in San Antonio back in the day was during the summertime, there was always water fights going on. There were always festivals going on. And we lived right down the road from Splashtown in San Antonio. Now, if you don't know what Splashtown is, there's a good chance that you're listening here in Maryland. Splashing. I typed in splashing. But
Splashtown.
Oh, my God.
Splashtown.
Splashtown, San Antonio. So this place was the freaking greatest because it was right down the road from us. It was a and I think they've added some stuff, but like they got all kinds of like different rides and whatnot. They got a cabana. They got a lazy ride river. And you only had to pay so much to go in there and just hang out. And me and my friend Xavier used to go there all the freaking time. And then once we were done, we could go downtown and like hang out, you know, on the Riverwalk. And oh my God, dude, like you would have loved it if you had been down in San Antonio during the summertime, all the freaking smells just walking around. Cause like all these
chlorine,
not chlorine.
Like pool chlorine, like that nice pool smell.
That
summer, man, that pool smell and
that hot pool chlorine smell with that little bit of just kind of sizzle in the air.
The smell of a sun-kissed.
Oh my God!
And a bag of your favorite Doritos, like Cool Ranch Doritos and Sunkist, and the smell of a nearby pool. That is like quintessentially summer. Yeah. Like it's the taste, the sounds, your olfactory system is going nuts. Like that's what reminds me of summer.
Yeah, man. Like, where's the one ride that we used to go on all the freaking time? Like again, man, you would have loved this place. There it is. So this is Starflight, and what was cool about this was like you went up this ladder with a, you know,
so
like,
it's one of those tube arrangements where you start at the top and then it loops down like this.
Okay. And this thing, like this thing was jet black on the inside, cuz like nowadays there's a lot of like rides like this where like it'll start to like kind of balloon out into like a rainbow color or whatever with the lights kind of coming through the tunnel.
Yeah.
This was jet black. You could not see jack or shit in here. So you didn't know when you're going down that tube if someone had gone down far enough. So it was very common to bump into somebody. and it was like...
So you just get these feet kicking your head.
Just feet kicking your head, and like you just put up with it, dude. You'd either just grab on or push off. Whatever worked, man, you would just do it. And, like, nobody cared, man. It was just, so much fun. And then
finally, when you got shooted out, you guys just got this bright light.
Yeah. And then I only went here, like, once or twice. But when I was growing up, the main theme park that we had was Six Flags Fiesta Texas.
Fiesta Texas.
And the ride that I went on, the very first roller coaster I ever went on in the summertime with my mom, believe it or not, was called Joker's Revenge. And it was a ride. It was this crazy-ass ride where you would walk through this, like, Joker funhouse. And you would get on the ride, and the ride would go backwards. So you're expecting to go all down this, like, you know, facing forward. Nope, you're doing it backwards. And my mom did not expect that. And you have to keep in mind, she hadn't ridden a roller coaster in like 10 years or something. So she's just expecting, all right, this is going to be cool. What's going on? And like, she's strapped in, and like, I'm like, whoa, all right, here we go. That was my first roller coaster, was I did it the wrong way.
Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like how yeah. I learned to drive. You go in the entire neighborhood in reverse, and then yeah. Now you learn how to go forward. Now, the one ride, if we're talking about rides,
yeah,
the one ride I really loved, it's a Joker ride from Six Flags, is Joker's Jinx.
Oh, right.
This
on.
One in Bowie, Maryland.
Okay.
You should try this out sometime. So
okay. By the way, if you want to know what happened to this ride, it was sold off to the one in New Orleans, and that Six Flags has since been closed because of Katrina. So this ride is currently abandoned somewhere in New Orleans. So
this thing goes from it has a seating position, and we had this one guy on
the. It's called Joker's Jinx.
Yeah, Joker's Jinx. Jinx,
J-I-N-X.
Yeah. So the starting hallway, you're sitting there in the seat, right?
Uh-huh.
And like, it's in this, and this is the kind of this hallway thing. And you just got this guy over the loudspeaker, like, we're going to start the ride moment. You're invited to be buckled in. Everybody puts a thing a lot of times on the side. And I'm just there's like, all right. So like, you make sure and like, all right, so what? You got the seatbelt and you got the bar. Is there a thing I lift over here? No. Seatbelt, and this thing presses down
yep.
on your legs.
Uh-huh.
That is it. And you're looking forward, and you're seeing this.
Oh, hell no.
So.
Oh, no!
Okay, it gets even worse. So he goes...
Okay, I've ridden a lot of roller coasters in my life. Fuck that. No. That needs to have something coming over your shoulders, because...
I think they added it, but this is like...
An, oh, God.
No, they didn't. That's still the same. So anyway... So he said,
hey, Sean,
We're sitting there ready to...
Yeah, no, fuck that.
Oh, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But that's not Nero's. I'll still go on it.
Right.
I don't care. I don't give a fuck, though. So I'm just,
yeah, man, we'll go to the Looney Bin together. I don't give a fuck.
Exactly. Ironically, it's Joker's Jinx. So you're sitting in there, and we're sitting there in the hallway. So he's just like,
we're going to bust off about, I'm going to count down from 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
And he presses it.
Oh, God.
And you go from 0 to 60. Assuming, 0 to 75 in 5 seconds.
Oh, my God.
So he's just like, you're just like, you're just stuck back. You're like, holy shit, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
And you're just laughing, and it's oh man, it's so much fun.
That kind of reminds me of the Flight of Fear in King's Dominion. Have you ever been on
yeah.
that? Yeah. That was a ride that I was not able to ride because my knees were bad and I couldn't tuck them underneath the fucking bar.
Yeah.
And I hope, because I kind of want to go to a theme park sometime this year for, like, I don't know, my birthday or whatever. I hope I can fucking fit one, man, because I've lost some weight.
You need to lose a little bit more. I know because at my thinnest, I was struggling to get in some of those seats.
Yeah,
they're made for tiny people.
They are. One of my favorite rides at King's Dominion. By the way, if you don't know what the Flight of Fear is, it's this like sci-fi themed I think they changed the name so far since Paramount doesn't own it anymore. But it was a sci-fi. It's a sci-fi themed roller coaster that's all indoors. You walk in, and it looks like something out of a movie set because it looks like, you know, an Air Force base or something, right? It looks like a command of the Air Force. And you go in there, and there's like a UFO in there, and you walk inside the UFO, and then you sit down, and they do much the same thing where, like, you know, you kind of strap in, and they're like, all right, everybody, ready? In 3, 2. And, like, they just launch you like a motherfucker from, like, 0 to 60 in, like, 2 seconds. And that is so much fun, but it's a dark ride, and you're always afraid to put your hands up because you don't want your fucking hands to get chopped off.
Nice.
You know what I mean? One of my other ones, one of my other favorite rides that I've ever been on is at King's Dominion, the volcano. Have you ever been on the volcano?
Mm-mm.
You've never been on the volcano?
No.
Dude, this is – okay, this ride is so cool because you the queuing station is like an archaeological exploration thing where, like, you're looking like there's dinosaur bones
and
stuff.
I'm down.
And then you go inside the volcano and you're, like, dangling. They launch you with a magnet, kind of like the other rides that we were talking about. They launch your ass through a volcano over the top, and then you come around and you start sailing around the volcano. And it is so much fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, like, you come out and there's, like, a fireball that comes accompanying you. And then you just kind of – and it's a great ride to fly – it's a great ride to ride at night when you're looking at, you know, Hershey, Pennsylvania – no, Virginia, sorry. When you're looking at all that at night, it's such a great ride.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry I'm doing this, like, but I got to be somewhere in the morning.
I do too.
So that was our talk about just a bunch of stuff that I have no idea we were going to go in. It was a very free-form bully going nowhere.
Yes, it is.
I did enjoy it very much.
We didn't get to the Nintendo news. Basically, Capcom saying that Monster Hunter World's not coming out for the Switch. That's all you need to know. We'll talk about it more in depth next week. But
you have any likes, comments, to anything, please post those on our Facebook page at facebook.com/castwavestudios. Give us a like button. Share our page if you liked the content that we're putting out, and that would be much appreciated. Also, I think you should probably maybe go on to twitter.com/castwavestudios, at castwavestudios. Please tweet us. Please follow us. Check out that stuff there. Also, check out the couple interviews that we have out there. Dallas White did one for Matt Frewer.
Mm-hmm.
That's Max Headroom, if you don't know, from the 80s. Also, Big Russ Thompson in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, the next door neighbor with the hat.
And then this guy right here actually got an interview with Timothy Zahn.
Yeah,
and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. It was amazing, actually. I really enjoyed myself. I also got a signed cop first printing from Thrawn. It was amazing.
Hold on, real fast. Actually, keep talking.
So, anyways, please check out Post Credit Podcast. That's on there, castwaystudios.com. We haven't recorded an episode in a while. I know it's been a bit. It's been a long time, but you know we'll get to one eventually. But we'll go through the backlogs. Also, yeah, check out Castwave Studios' blog.
Okay,
it's a good blog.
Also, keep an eye out for an interview that I did while we were at Farpoint with one LG Ransom. I actually got to do an interview with her, and she gave me a copy of her book, Holland's Hair.
Here, now I'll show it to the people. I know where the camera is.
Now, this is a book I was brought to attention of. She is a giant Super Sentai and Power Rangers fan, and she sold this to me as a story where it follows a woman who is following in her grandfather's footsteps as a mecha pilot, and she wanted to do a series. And you can watch the interview up on Facebook once we're off here. We'll link it in the description below. But she wanted to take the concept of a Sentai or Power Rangers team and make it a little more science fiction-y. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm still reading it, but so far it's been really good. And by the way, if you're watching, thank you for the free copy. I'm going to be finishing it soon. It's really good.
All right. Also, go to castwaystudios.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. And I think that pretty much wraps up all for today for your week in geek.
Yes. And until next time, I'm Brian Massey.
And I'm Sean Holmes.
And you've been Bully Going Nowhere. And Sean?
Yes?
Hit me with that outro.
The outro. It's right about, I think it's right about here.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.